Good evening. I'll try to keep this under an hour. There's just so much on this subject. And I think it was back in February or March when God really laid this on my heart. I sat down and I talked with Ken about it. Me and him went over it for about an hour. And it's just something that I think that God wants me to share, because I've been sharing it with people that I meet on the street, that I talk to, that are Christians, no matter where I'm at. This is just deep in me. And what it is that we must allow God's will to be done in our life. You know, I studied it, I've thought about it, I've meditated on it, and every time I can only come to one conclusion. If I don't allow God's will to be done in my life, then I'm not going to make it. Because it's either His will or my will, and we know that our will is not going to get us to heaven. So, the first question that I would ask, that I've asked myself, what is God's will? And God, there's so much on this, but too bad I can't preach a sermon on it, but I'll tell you, this is... Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Verse 1 and 2, actually. I remember the first time I read these verses, I fell in love with them. Especially at verse 2, being not conformed to this world. This is one of God's wills for us to do, where He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when you look at those two verses right there, present your body a living sacrifice, that takes you to Luke 9:23, denying yourself. And it takes you to John 15:13-14, laying down your life once again. In that verse 2, being not conformed to this world. This is the part right here where people, even some people that fellowship, have a hard time doing, because when you be unequally yoked with unbelievers, you're not going to win. They're going to pull you in. It's just there's no fine print in it. There's no way around it. And of course, that also goes back to how do we do it? I think the most powerful way that you can learn to do God's will is to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you to do. It tells you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you don't study, you're going to die. Because, you know, I tell people all the time, just like if you don't feed your body, it'll die. If you don't feed your spirit, it'll die as well. And that is something else that all of this has been very, very powerful to me all year long. And I have just been concentrating on laying down my life, denying myself, just everything I do, I try my hardest to do things that are perfect in His eyesight. I try my hardest every day to let His will be done. When I wake up in the morning, I get on my knees and I thank God for giving me the breath of life. And I thank Him for giving me another day to show Him how much I love Him. And I ask Him to to help me to do everything today pleasing to you. I don't want to fail you. That's the attitude you got to have. You got to have that let God's will be done in your life attitude. And when you get that attitude, it's hard for the devil to get in there and make you fall. You know, there's another verse. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1. It talks about, you know, how things that you should add to your faith. You know, 2 Peter chapter 2. He says, it says, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and then brotherly kindness. And then you go over to verse 10. He said, if you do these things, you will never fall. You know, we must allow God's will to be done in our life. If you don't, we cannot make it. I mean, you go over to Luke 9:23, and this is how I'm going to end this, because there's so much I could just talk on it forever, but go to Luke 9:23 with me. Luke 9, verse 23, 24, and 25. You know, it is the result of not doing it. And when I read this, the first time I read this, it put a godly fear in me, because I know that it's telling that it means what it says. And it says, and he said unto them, and starting at verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, you can add to that, and I don't think it'll be a disobedience to Revelations chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, where he says, don't add to or take away. I think you can add to that, must first deny himself. I think that would be okay. First deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And here's what got me right here when I first read this. This was years ago. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, he made it personal. He said, for my sake, shall save it. So, you see how important it is to allow his will to be done. And I just wanted to share that with my brothers and sisters tonight. And God laid it on my heart back in, I think it was February or March, when he started really pushing me for this. And I have one more thing that I'm going to say before I quit. And when God first laid this on my heart, and I'm going to tell you something. When you think about it, when you look at the apostles, when they let God's will be done in their life, you see what they had to go through. You see what Jesus had to go through. You see what the prophets had to go through. Now, this was on my mind when God first laid that on my heart. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, let your will be done in my life and not mine. But I was scared. I had fear. And I got up and the Spirit spoke to me. It said, Frank, you can't do that. There's nothing you can do that would be better than what God can do. There's nothing you can do. Look at your life now. If God would have been in control of your life from birth, you would have been in a lot better shape spiritually than you are now. So that's how powerful this has been to me. I got afraid of it. I wanted him to do it, but it's just that fear of what he might make me do or what he might take me through. You can't be afraid of that. You can't be afraid of that, because there's nothing you can do that is going to be greater than what God can do. Nothing. Amen. Now, if there's anybody in here tonight that don't know Jesus Christ, you're missing out on a lot of goodness. I don't care what you go through, He puts joy in it. I don't care what it is. Even the suffering feels good. And that I mean, the suffering feels good. When Paul said he counted all joy, I see what he meant. It does feel good. Because you know that none of this matters. When you stop breathing, that's when you're going to have to give account for everything you've done. So if there's anybody out there, anybody in here, that wants to have that fear, and the fear is not fear, it's love, respect, honor, come forward while we stand and sing this song.